Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from New City, Delhi. You are listening to the sermon series from the Book of Ephesians. For more information about New City and other sermons, please visit newcitydelhi.com.
So we've looked at chapters 1 to 3, and the way the Book of Ephesians is structured is chapter 1 through 3. Paul is actually talking about the power and the purpose of the gospel. And we've looked at that. In chapter 4 to chapter 6, he's going to now apply the gospel to very practical areas of life. And in chapter 4 beginning, he's actually describing the church. He's actually talking about what the church is and how the church looks like and what the church does, right? So he's describing in these 16 verses about the church, right? So how are we part of the church? How are we part of the body of Christ? Because we have one faith. In verses 4 and 5, he's talking about one faith in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what makes us a Christian. It is not our birth. It is not our parents' faith. It is not because we just come to church. None of that. It is because the triune God resides in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is in us because of that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, right? So we have one faith. And as we have that one faith, it is displayed in one baptism, right? It is not just I believe in Jesus. No, I publicly show people that I believe in Jesus. We have one baptism, and that is what makes us members of a body of Christ. So we have one baptism, and then we become one body, right? So that's what Paul is talking about. He's describing the church, right? In verse 16, he says, from whom, meaning from whom? Jesus, who's the head of the body. He's kind of using this image of the body to describe the church. He's saying, from whom Jesus, the whole body joined and held together, right? So all of us are connected to the head, the Lord Jesus, right? And so in this passage, he's helping us understand, what does it mean to be connected? What is the evidence of being connected to the head? What is the evidence? The evidence is you're growing in maturity. You're serving in the body, right? That's the evidence. So if I'm not growing in maturity, if I sense, man, I'm growing in impatience, I'm growing in irritation, I'm not growing in gentleness, and Paul says, no, we are infants and children, and the reason we are not growing into the head and growing in maturity is because we are not connected to the head, right? And if you are isolated from the body of Christ and we are not serving one another with the gifts Jesus the King has given us, then we are not connected to the body. What is the evidence of that? It is one faith, it is one baptism, it is one body. And how is it seen in the body? We are growing in maturity into Christ, and we are serving one another. Right? It's the evidence. But what is the result of being connected? The result of being connected to the head, to Jesus, is that you will grow in maturity and you will serve the body. Right? So that's what Paul is actually talking about. And in this section, that last one we are talking about, he's giving you another evidence and another result of gospel transformation, of being connected to the head. And that has to do with speaking the truth in love. So today we're going to be thinking about, we're going to conclude this section today, we're going to think about what happens when you speak the truth in love. Why don't we speak the truth in love, right? And how do you speak the truth in love? So kind of, we're going to just kind of think through this, right? So first one I want to submit to you is a life-giving community. A life-giving community. What happens when each one of us speak the truth in love? It's a life-giving community, right? Look at verse 14. He says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What is Paul describing? Paul is describing a community that is shaped by the gospel. Paul is describing a community that is connected to the head, the Lord Jesus. He is describing a community that is growing, that is working well with each other, that is thriving, that is flourishing, that is loving, that is maturing, that is serving, right? Such a community is a life-giving community for people. It is life-giving. There is life in the community, right? So the question we ask is, why do churches and people, why are they not thriving? Sometimes why we don't flourish? Why are we not growing and maturing, right? What is the reason? One of the reasons, and of course the reason simply is you're not connected to the head, the Christ, but another reason that Paul is talking about here is because there is no environment, there is no culture in the community, or there is no habit in you as an individual to speak the truth in love. When we do not speak the truth in love, it is not an environment where you can be flourishing and thriving. But imagine a community where there's a perfect balance of truth and love. There's a perfect balance of honesty and grace. There's a perfect balance of being genuine about our struggles, genuine about other people and approaching them, but yet compassion and mercy toward people. There's a perfect balance where when you sin, you are able to repent of it. There's a perfect balance when others sin against you, you're willing to forgive them. What a life-giving community that will be. Man, there is sweetness and tenderness. There is grace, there is mercy, there is love in that community. That is a life-giving community. That is a life-giving community, right? And so, Paul is telling us every word we speak, hey, every word you speak, you need to give an account. Did you know that? Did you know that? Every word you speak, every WhatsApp message you are sending, every social media, we give an account to God, right? And Paul gives us, right? Paul tells us, as the body of Christ, hey, if you're visiting with us and you're from a different community, you're the first time you're in church, hey, I want you to listen into what God has to tell the church and how we need to live. So this is a wonderful experience for you to hear what God has to tell us as those who follow Jesus, right? So I'm glad you're here to be able to listen into this conversation. This is what God tells us, his people, about our speech. Verse 29, we didn't read it, but if you go down, he's going to talk about that in Ephesians 4:29. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This is what Paul is saying. No, let not any corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Verse 31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. My friend, imagine a community where, man, imagine a community where we are forgiving one another, we are loving one another, we are honest and genuine with one another. Every word we speak in the corners of the corridors, in the darkness, in the WhatsApp, in the social media, every conversation we speak and everything we talk about, what if it is only meant to build up somebody else and not to tear people down? Imagine a community like that. That is why Jesus gave his life. Right? That is why he has called you. That is why he has given you his spirit, to be able to live like him. And when we live like him, man, what a witness. What a tremendous unity there is in the community. What a witness it is to the watching world. See, when you speak the truth in love, speaking the truth in love results in maturity. You tracking me? Speaking the truth in love results in Maturity. And I see this in my life. I need to grow. I need to grow in maturity. So my kids and my family, my wife, my dear wife, they're very honest. They tell me, right? They tell me, right? They're like, Ranjit, you're yelling too much. I tell them, no, I'm not yelling. It's just that my voice is like that. I mean, even when I'm tender, my loving words come with a certain intensity, right? So my face becomes a little this thing. My smile is gone. But I do love people, right? But it's not, the smile doesn't cut through, right? And that's my brokenness. And I'm looking and longing for heaven where God will completely change me and all these personalities will come out and I can enjoy and people will know that I'm smiling, right? But right now, it doesn't happen. So my kids have to tell me. My kids tell me. In a nice way, right? They'll tell me, Daddy, you're shouting too much. I'm counseling somebody in the other room and they think I'm fighting with them, right? I have to tell them, no, I'm not fighting. it's just the way I speak. So they're honest with me. So when they're honest with me, I can grow in maturity. Because one of the words for me this year, in the end of December, one of the words, and I shared with all of you, is gentleness. And God is telling me, Ranjit, you need to be gentle. I want you to be gentle with people, right? How do I know that? Because my family keeps telling me, Ranjit, you're not gentle. You're not gentle. So when they're honest with me, it's an opportunity for me to grow in maturity. If they're not honest with me, how am I supposed to grow? So my friends, I want you to understand this. Are you someone who's able to receive truth? Are you somebody who's able to receive truth in love? When somebody says something, and they may say it in a terrible way, they may have the wrong timing, and their face is not good, whatever that is, but they tell you, are you able to cut through all of the brokenness and the baggage, and are you able to receive the truth lovingly? Because it is good for you. It is good for you. It's for your maturity. Are you able to speak the truth in love to one another? Because it's good for them. It's good for their maturity. This is how we're going to grow. Right? So speaking the truth in love results in maturity. Right? Secondly, speaking the truth in love results in unity. It results in unity. He's talking about unity in the body. If I'm not speaking the truth in love, if we don't speak the truth in love to one another, man, it's going to create discord and division. It is not going to result in unity. It's not going to result in unity, my friend. But when I speak the truth in love, when we speak the truth in love to one another, it results in unity. Because when I don't speak the truth, when I don't speak the truth about my own struggles, about my own sin, when I don't speak the truth to you about maybe that something has to do with you, when I don't, then I'm isolating myself from the body. I'm isolating myself by being dishonest. But when I become honest and I speak the truth in love, then I'm one with the body. I'm building up the body. So the question for you is, my friends, are you an agent of renewal and reconciliation in the hands of Christ where you are speaking the truth in love? Or are you an agent or a tool in the hands of the devil sowing disunity and discord? So when you speak the truth in love, it results in maturity. When you speak the truth in love, it results in unity. And lastly, when you speak the truth in love, man, it results in beauty. It results in beauty. Imagine as God's people, when we speak the truth in love, what a beautiful community it can be. Imagine if, and Paul is talking about that, and we've talked about this, growing in maturity, we talked about infancy to maturity. Imagine if people do something against you, you're able to be patient with them. Because the world is not going to be patient, but you are patient. Imagine if people do something and say something nasty against you, but you are bearing with one another in love. Imagine if this community, we are not quick to judge each other, but we are humble with one another. Imagine when we speak to one another, we are gentle with one another. Imagine a community like that. Man, it is nothing but the beauty and the tenderness and the love and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ displayed here. And not just here, to the watching world. To the watching world. A community that speaks the truth in love is life-giving. It's life-giving. It's life-giving for you. It's life-giving for me. It's life-giving for the city we live in. So it's a life-giving community when we speak the truth in love. This is what happens. It's a life-giving community. Secondly, why don't we speak? Right? And so it's a life-threatening habit. It's a life-threatening habit when we don't speak the truth in love. Man, it is life-threatening. It's life-threatening. That's the opposite. If speaking the truth in love can give you life, if you're not speaking the truth in love, it is the opposite. It is death. It is death to marriage if you don't speak the truth in love. It is death to friendships if you don't speak the truth in love. It is death to communities if you don't speak the truth in love. It is death to unity. It is death to your own soul when you don't speak the truth in love. Truth about your own struggles, truth about your own sin, truth about other people's sin, and gently coming alongside them. If we are not able to speak the truth in love, man, it is going to disintegrate. It is going to create discord and disunity. Relationships die. You see the tension here? This is not a nice suggestion. This is not like, go try. No. It's life or death. It's life or death for you. It's life or death for this community. It's life or death for the witness in this community. Let's think through this. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Right? Without truth. Right? Some people, we are very nice. We're very nice to people. India, we are very nice, right? We may not like the dish, that bonda they are giving you, right? That vada, it's too spicy, but you don't want to eat it, but you know how to say it. You're like, man, this vada is too spicy, right? But you're like, oh, you're crying and eating, right? And then Indian hospitalities, they'll give you 5 more vadas, so you'll have to, you're eating and you're crying, and you're like, what is this? I don't like it, right? So we don't like to say the truth here in our community, right? We love everybody. We like to love people. We are too nice to speak the truth. We are too nice. I'm too nice, right? Hey, without truth, love dies. There is no love. don't be thinking you're loving. You're not loving, right? Without truth, love dies. There is no love without truth. And some of us, man, we are very truth-oriented. Hey, my truth. I want to tell you. I don't care what you think, right? I'm in a position, I have to tell you, we are very quick to tell people. And we have a personality for it. We have the language for it. We don't hold back. I just tell it to the face. I'll just give it to them. I'll just tell it. Man, I'll tell them to their face, right? So we say all this stuff, right? I know some of you, I'm like that, right? I'll tell it to the face, right? Wonderful. But truth, yeah, truth is good. But truth without love is not truth. It's just a bunch of facts. It's not truth, right? Without love, truth dies. Truth dies. It is not helpful for the other person without love. So I want you to understand this. Without love, truth dies. Without truth, love dies. It is both. You have to speak the truth in love. Otherwise, it is not helpful. It is not helpful. Right? Without love, my friend, without love, your truth is abrasive. Without love, your truth is cold. Without love, your truth is arrogant. Without love, your truth is morally superior and selfish. It does not help people. It does not change people. It does not build up people. Without love, you think I love truth? No, you don't love truth. If it's not with love, without love, you are not loving truth. You may think you are so truthful. You are not loving truth. You love yourself. Are you tracking me? Hey, same without truth. Without truth, it is deception. Without truth, your love is deception. Without truth, your love is flattery. Without truth, your love is not genuine. Without truth, your love is hypocritical. Right? Without it is hypocrisy. It is not genuine. And so without truth, you may think you're very loving. No, you are not loving the person at all. You know who you're loving? You're loving yourself. And this is why Paul says this in verse 15. He says, rather speak the truth in love. And in verse 14, he's giving you the contrast. This is where I'm getting this from. In verse 14, he says, what does he say? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. He's talking about the truth, the word of God. But he said, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. When you are not speaking the truth in love, this is our posture. We are cunning and crafty and deceitful. This is the description of who we are. My friend, it is life-threatening. It is life-threatening when I am deceiving you by not telling you the truth about myself, about my struggles. When I'm deceived, when I think, I'm gonna try and fix myself. I'm gonna try and manage. When I'm not truthful to you, it is death to me. And when I'm not truthful to you about you, it is death to you. And when I'm truthful and I'm not loving, it is still death to all of us. Why is this hard? Why is this hard? This balance is hard. It's hard for me. In my home, it's hard for me because when I tell the truth, it comes across as shouting and yelling and angry. It's not coming. It's not coming at all. And for some of us, when we don't want to tell the truth, we want to be loving always, but we don't want to tell the truth. Why is this hard? My friend, you got to check your heart. You got to check your motivation. Let me help you understand this, right? I want you to think through this, right? Why do you struggle to tell the truth? Right? Because of personalities and because of all that. So we kind of gravitate to one of these two things, right? So maybe you're here and you're like, no, Ranjit, I struggle to tell the truth. I struggle. In some ways, we all do this, right? But some we struggle to tell the truth. We struggle to tell the truth about ourselves. We struggle to tell the truth about other people, right? Why? Why is it, right? Here's the language. Here's the language of your heart. If this is you, Ranjit, I don't want to hurt. I don't want to hurt their feelings. Okay. It's not that important. It's not that important. It's not that important. You know what? They won't handle it. They can't handle the truth. Maybe time is not right. Ranjit, I don't know how to say it. Ranjit, I'll say it when I'm ready. Ranjit, I'm too scared to say it. Man, they should be able to figure it out. Why do I need to tell them? They should be able to figure it out. Why can't others tell them? Why should I tell? Why can't other people tell? Maybe they know already. I don't need to bring it up, but maybe they know already. Well, they don't tell me the truth. Why should I tell them the truth? If I tell them, they'll get mad at me. If I tell them, it'll ruin the friendship. If I tell the truth, it'll add to my stress. I'm already going through so much stress. I'm not perfect. How can I tell the truth to somebody? I'm not perfect. Well, I don't know them too well, right? And this is my favorite. I'll tell the pastor. He will tell, right? In India, that's what we do, right? In India, pastor, you know what is happening? Right? We do all that. And what? I have to now do your work, right? I have to now go and do all this stuff. Are you tracking me? Why do you struggle? Why do you struggle to tell the truth? Why? If this is your language in your head, if you answer any of this as yes, this is our language. I struggle with this too. I struggle with this as a pastor. It's not like I am so happy to tell you that. No, but don't you want me to tell you the truth? Don't you want me to tell you the truth? Don't you want me to be honest, a pastor here? Right? It's a struggle for me. All these questions are struggle for me. Right? But I want you to understand, if you don't tell the truth, if you don't tell the truth to somebody because you think you love them, right? If you don't tell the truth and you think you love them, no, you don't love them. Neither you don't love the truth. You only love yourself. You only love yourself. I want others to like me. I don't want to get into trouble. I don't want to do this. When you get into this habit of not speaking the truth in love, you are only loving yourself. And it's a habit. It's a habit. If you don't learn to speak the truth when you're single, you won't learn to speak the truth when you're married. When you don't learn to speak the truth in love in your marriage, you won't learn to speak the truth with your children. When you don't, are you tracking me? It's easy for me not to tell the truth to my kids. Right? It's very easy. If you're a parent, you know that. No, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with all these things. I have a stress. Let them, they'll figure it out. Let the teachers tell them. Right? Somebody tell them. No. If it's death for them. It's death for me. Right? If you don't learn to speak the truth in community, in friendships, I'm not loving you, I'm not loving my children, I'm not loving my family, I'm not loving my brothers and sisters, I'm not loving my friends. You know who I love? I'm not loving Jesus. You know who I love? I love myself and what I feel. So why do you struggle to tell the truth? Why? You love yourself. Don't tell that person, this person. No. You love yourself. Why do we struggle to tell the truth graciously? Maybe you're somebody who tells the truth. Why do we struggle to tell it lovingly and graciously? Why are we all this? Like, why are we all that? Why do we tell? Check your heart again. Check your heart again. Why are we so judgmental? Why do we come across with anger? Why are we so bitter when it comes to the truth with somebody else? Why do we gossip? Why do we slander? Why are we jealous? Why are we envious? Why? Check your heart. Is this, why do you tell the truth? Why? Is it because you want to look good? Is that you? You want to look good? Is this because you want to feel morally superior? Is that why you're telling the truth? Check your heart before you tell the truth, right? Is this because you enjoy being right? You enjoy being right in your marriage? You enjoy being right? That's why you tell the truth with your friends? Is that because you love winning an argument? You could be right. You could be true. It is truth. But your motivation, check your motivation. Why are you so eager to tell the truth? Is it because you want to win an argument? Is it because you want to make the other person feel bad? Is it because you want to punish them? Is it because you want to shame them or make them feel guilty? Why? Because if that is what's going on in my heart, it's going to come across as angry and bitter and judgmental and self-righteous and moralistic superior. All of this is the way they're going to feel it. And it's not going to help them. And when I'm not able to, I may have the truth, I may speak the truth, but when I don't do it lovingly, my friends, I am not loving the other person, neither am I loving the truth. You know who I love? I love myself. I love myself more. When we speak the truth in love, it's a life-giving community. But when I don't speak the truth in love, it's life-threatening. It's life-threatening. It dishonors Christ. It dishonors Christ when we don't speak the truth in love. It dishonors Christ when we gossip. It dishonors Christ when we lie. It dishonors Christ when you slander. It dishonors Christ. It ruins unity. Oh, the unity Jesus purchased with his blood. He went to the cross to bring us together. And when I'm not truthful, man, I, let me tell you, and it might be strong for us, it might be strong, but listen to me. When I am not truthful, I am in direct opposition to what God is doing through the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand this. You may be a member of the church, you may be in the small groups, you may be attending regularly, you may be serving. No, when we are not speaking the truth in love, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, through the Father, all of them are working towards the unity in the body. They are, oh, that is what they love. Jesus prayed, I want them to be one. This is what they are, the triune God desires and is working towards. And if I am sowing disunity through my dishonesty and my gossip, I am living a life that is in direct opposition to what God is doing. This is how serious this is. No better way to show that you love somebody than to speak the truth in love. No better way to show that you love Jesus than by speaking the truth in love. And hey, let me get a little personal here. Let me get a little personal, right? Me and Rajesh, we talk about these things, right? And it's tough, right? It's tough. See, we are not afraid of persecution, and we are not afraid of what will happen and what will happen to the church, what will they do. I'm not afraid of any of these things. You know what I'm saying? You know what keeps us awake at night? You know what really breaks our hearts? See, when we preach the gospel, and when we sit with you, and when we hear your struggles, and when we extend grace, and we forgive, and we love, when we want, you know what, as Paul says in Galatians 4:19, he says, I am in anguish of childbirth to see Christ formed in you. That is Paul. Paul is full of anguish and anxiety to see Christ formed in people. This is why we are here. We are not here because we want to have a position. We are not here because we want to have money. That's not why we are doing this, my friends. And so we love you dearly. We love you. We love you. Right? We want to preach the true gospel, even though it is hard. And I messaged my friends yesterday. I said, it's hard. It's hard for me to preach because I can speak the truth, but it may not come across loving because of my tone, because of my body language. I know my personality. I love people, and I want to speak the truth from the word, but it can land in a very judgmental way. And my desire is not to judge you. But I want to tell you, it breaks our hearts. It breaks our hearts. It breaks our hearts when we don't walk in line with the gospel. It breaks the heart of Jesus. We want New City to be a life-giving community. We want you to experience life-giving power of God. But the sin in us is going to make it life-threatening. Lastly, the Spirit that empowers this life, Spirit-empowered life. Where do we get the power? How do we speak the truth in love? How do we speak the truth in love, right? And verse 32, right? It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Oh, hey, let me tell you, if you want to, when you need to say something truthfully and you're hiding, you need to check your heart. If you're going to say it, I want you to pray, right? I'm not going to go into this detail, but pray about it. If you're going to approach somebody and say something, if you have something in your heart, right? If you have sinned against somebody, go repent and apologize. If somebody else has sinned against you, you don't just wait for till they come. No, that's not the gospel, right? You go, but when you go, you pray. You pray, You pray that the words that will come out of your mouth, your tone, your voice, your posture, everything will be hidden in Christ. Your identity will be hidden in Christ. Why? Because when they reject you, when they say something bad or whatever, they don't understand, your heart is going to struggle and you're going to want to lash out. You're going to want to be mad. You're going to want to withdraw your friendship. But that is not a gospel-centered life. So when you go, you pray and ask God to help you secure your identity in Christ, who loves you, that you're not afraid of speaking the truth, that you are able to forgive and love people, right? So you go, you pray, you check your heart, you check your heart motivation as you're praying. You go with humility, knowing that you're not superior here, right? Because I tell the truth to my friend, I'm not in no way superior. Because I'm your pastor, I'm not in no way superior to you. I'm equally sinful. In fact, I have a log in my eye, even as I talk about the speck in you. Right? You have to understand that. No, no, no. Just because you speak the truth doesn't mean we are somehow great or perfect or we are better. No, no, no. So go with humility. Go with humility. Go with humility. And speak the truth in love. With love. With love. And sometimes it's not received in love. What do then? You forgive. It's okay. It's okay. You forgive. How do you get the power to live like this? We get it from the gospel. You know, Jesus displayed perfect truth and perfect love for us. That only when you understand that can you live like this. If you try and do it on your own, you're not going to do this. Only Jesus, only the gospel, right? Jesus displayed perfect truth. You know what the truth he displayed? Jesus came to die for your sin. You know what kind of a truth that is? The truth that reveals is that, man, your sin is so great that Jesus had to die. It's not your foolishness. It is not like, oh, I made a mistake. No, my friends, your mistake cost Jesus his life. He told us the truth by dying on the cross. He said, no, 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 this is not okay. Ranjit, your sin is not okay. Your sin is not something I can just wipe away. No, no, Jesus told me the truth. Jesus tells us the truth. Jesus tells the world the truth. He tells the truth by dying on the cross. He says, this is how the gravity of your sin, the magnitude of your sin is so great. It's so great. You cannot pay for it. It required Jesus to die for it. That is the truth. He didn't downplay it. Are you tracking me? If he downplayed it, you're not here. We're not here. If he minimized it, you're not here. No, no, he told the truth. But he also displayed love because he knows when he tells the truth. Are you tracking me? Jesus knows when he tells the truth about your sin, you are not going to be like, thank you, Jesus. I really appreciate you for telling me the truth. Let me congratulate you. No, 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 no. He knew you will crucify him. And yet he told the truth in love. He told it in love by dying on the cross. He didn't make you pay. He didn't lash out on you. He was not judgmental. He was not arrogant. He was humble. He took it upon himself and he died. Hey, you want to speak the truth in love? Jesus is the model. But as he did that, he's not just giving you an example, my friend. He is saving you by that. If Jesus didn't speak the truth in love, man, we are not here. We are not. We cannot be saved. He is saving you by speaking the truth in love. He's not only an example in your life. He is your savior. He's your savior. He's the one who helps you. The Holy Spirit helps us. So my friend, how do you speak the truth in love? Look at Jesus, who displayed truth and love